Our next presenter, his name is Michael Goring. He is from Guiding Eyes. In this state, we have quite a number of dogs. And so he's going to just talk a little bit about perhaps guide dogs in general and Guiding Eyes itself. So let's turn the time over to him.
Hello, everybody. I am Mike Goring, and I'm with Guiding Eyes. I am formerly known as a field representative, and we all got shiny new titles this year. So now I'm a regional guide dog mobility instructor. And doesn't pay anymore, but it certainly takes more letters. Anyway, my job is generally to travel in the field and conduct home interviews, visit with people that already have guide dogs from us, and provide follow-up services. And these days, doing a lot of home trainings. Of course, the COVID circumstances have affected all of the guide dog schools. I was just on a call with the U.S. Guide Dog Consortium that includes all the Canadian schools as well. And everybody's operating just in different degrees of operation these days, depending kind of where they're at, what they're risk levels are with the COVID and all that. Today you can find me in East Texas. We are not flying. Guiding Eyes has not cleared any of us to fly yet. So everything is driving. So I drove 16 hours to get to East Texas to deliver a dog. And that's how our life is working these days. But we are operating. We are, campus out in New York, the campus is operating and they are training dogs at Guiding Eyes campus. However, they are not bringing students out to the school. So in the past, I think Katie, I saw you were on the call, and I think I saw Nate on the call, both graduates of our school, and they both attended class in New York. Right now, because of all the ups and downs and spikes and so on with the COVID stuff, they're not flying students out to the school at this time and not for the foreseeable future. Until things kind of tone down. So for now, all instruction is done through home trainings, where it is going to slow us up as far as being able to deliver dogs to people, but we are still trudging it forward. I liken it to, it felt when all this hit, just like everybody else, everything came to kind of a dead stop. All of us field staff, where you start being on the road 2 weeks out of a month. I've never been home so much in 13 years. So it was a little strange trying to learn how to do as much as we possibly could, keeping contact with their graduates and conducting home interviews remotely and doing all of that. But we're up and running. We are placing dogs. We're doing, I liken it to a train that was brought to a full complete stop. And now we're having to get that train up and moving again. And, as you all know, that takes a little time and a little momentum to get going. So, but we're doing it. And, like I say, I'm out in the field right now doing another home training. And I've got three more on tap between now and hopefully the end of the year. And that's just myself. Guiding Eyes is a full service guide dog school. We place all dogs in all over the U.S. and into Canada. Kind of our hallmark of our services is that with Guiding Eyes, we do have a really strong field presence. We have regional mobility instructors. There are 7 of us right now, and that cover all of the United States. We've got about 950, pushing 1,000 active guide dog teams in the U.S. and Canada that we look after. Normally, last year, we placed in total about 160. I think we landed about 165 teams, if I recall. This year, we're scheduled in fiscal 2021. What doing everything is home trainings, we're going to try to hit 120. Just because the mechanism of delivery has changed, it's going to slow things down a little bit. We are taking applications and we are processing those applications. The way, of course, with the slowdown, Wait times are a bit longer than they used to be. And that's just gonna, there's just no way around it, unfortunately. We're having to not completely reinvent the wheel here, but we are having to get creative in how we do things. For instance, just to get dogs out to those of us that are based on the western half of the U.S., if any of you, some of my grads may follow, the Guiding Eyes website and so on, but Guiding Eyes acquired an RV and they had it. It has a toy hauler in the back and they renovated that to haul up to 10 dogs at a time. So they just are in the process. They just brought 10 dogs west, dropping dogs off with field instructors along the way. And it ended up in Denver where it dropped off the last grouping of dogs and then heading back east. So that's how we're getting dogs out west now, bring them out that way. And then, like, for instance, I'll run up to Denver, pick up my 3 dogs, and then I'll distribute them for there. So, like I say, we're getting very creative about how we do things these days. But we're doing it, and we're all very proud to still be up and running. I guess with that, I can ramble, as all of you know from last year, I can ramble about dogs for days. And rather than doing that, I would just open things up and take some questions. I've got about 10, 12 minutes here I can talk, and then I've got to scoot out the door here actually to catch up with my student that I'm working with. So, but I would just open it up for questions at this time. If anybody has any questions about guide dogs, if you're interested in guide dogs, any of my grads on the call just want to say hey. So, any questions at this time?
So, I apologize, I was multitasking. So, do you training at home or you're going to a facility? Because you're talking about delivering the dogs.
So with delivering the dog, yeah, how it's working is we're bringing an instructor, Guiding Eyes instructors are bringing the dogs right to the home area of the student that we're working with. So it's all home. So in that regard, it's all home. It's home. We refer to that as a home training, delivery system. So there's pros and cons to it. I mean, for those that have ever acquired a guide dog previously, you know, kind of the quote normal way of getting a guide dog is you come to the school and you're in a class with, you know, anything from 6 to a dozen other students and everybody's assigned dogs and you work in this class environment. You're on campus for period. Guide dogs for the blind will do 2 weeks at a time out to Seeing Eye. I think is still at a 4-week program. Guiding Eyes, when we are operating classes, we're at a 3-week program. So you come into this environment, you stay in dormitories and you work in that. So that's kind of the normal operation. How we're Guiding Eyes, we have always had a pretty robust home training program for people that couldn't break away from work or because of family situations or because of school commitments. So we've always had a pretty robust home training program anyway, and we're just expanding off of that. For instance, in like 2019, I think we came close to doing 20% of our placements were through home trainings anyway. So how home training differs is that it's a trainer is going to come to your home and train with you in your home environment. So it has some advantages and some disadvantages. In class, it's kind of nice because you have your peers around you. You have some people that have had guide dogs before. You have some people that haven't had dogs before. You can share, just share the experience. So there's something to be said for that peer, having your peers around you and having that shared experience. And so that class format, I'm sure there's some people on the call that have been through that and can speak to that. And the nice thing about the home training is that we're working routes rather than kind of working these random routes in the city that you're never going to work in again. You're actually working on routes that you're going to be working in. Like, for instance, right now I'm working with a young woman on a college campus. So we're able to work with her on the actual, you know, from her dorm to, you know, class building one and to her actual classroom and work on seating and work in the actual environment that you're going to be working in and the route over to the student union, that type of thing. So there is an advantage that way. You know, probably the disadvantage is that you don't have that peer support around you.
This is Bonnie. I have a question.
Well, also, we got 2564. We'll go ahead and take that 2564.
Yeah, the trick web.
Okay.
Yeah. So, this is not directed at you, but the pandemic affecting the blind getting guide dogs is just not acceptable. It just seems like that's vital. The pandemic's hard enough on all people with disabilities, and especially the blind. And I'm just not happy that people that need their guide dogs and were in the queue things are being delayed. And like I said, it's not directed at you. I'm a past district governor for Lyons, and I know a lot of guide dog users. I know guide dog trainers. I'm pretty familiar, with the process. And I also know how vital it is to, a lot of people, a couple of which are on this call. Where's your facility located?
We are based, and I agree with you. This has been, this is absolutely, devastating to all of us. And we're all sitting here trying to, how do we do what we do? Just like any of, just like the school systems, just like all the work, everybody is trying to figure out how do we continue to provide this essential service, and do it safely and in a timely manner. And it's been a challenge, for everyone. Our school school headquarters is based in Yorktown Heights, New York is where the headquarters is. But we have field staff. Yeah. So we have field staff that are spread out all over the U.S. And so that's how we're kind of looking at it, the model that we're looking at evolving into, because we don't know when this is going to end. And this has been some really, really in-depth meetings and discussions. I was actually on a call just a few weeks ago with the U.S. Custogs. It's called Custogs is the acronym for it, but the U.S. Council of Guide Dog Schools. And that was, it's just all the schools in the U.S. and Canada are finding their way through this. Everybody's trying to figure out how do we do this job in this new world, and not knowing how long, we were feeling really pretty good about things as the numbers were coming down and things started toning down, and we're like, okay, let's get dogs out to us and we can do these home trainings and we can do this. And we're some of our instructors that were class instructors are now being, we've created a mentorship program so that we're teaching them how to become home trainers. And so there's a lot of work went into this, developing, redeveloping and updating our lecture library to be able to lean on that as a learning tool. I mean, just there's so much that was going on. And then now these numbers are going back up in the wrong direction, which makes it challenging again, because which areas are safe for us to go into and to provide it? I was just in a training in Salt Lake City, for instance. And while I was there, they had this, ridiculous spike. As they opened their schools and they opened the university, and it just became dangerous for me to be inviting the student out into public spaces where we would normally be teaching. I'd be teaching my blind student how to navigate public spaces as a first time guide dog user. But now we're out here in this COVID environment. And in that case, it was a state that was not very good about observing masking and social distancing and those kinds of things. So it got to a point where, we were both not comfortable, being out and about in those spaces. And then, it was very frightening. One afternoon he calls me and he says, I've got a fever and a cough, and my heart just sank. And, I quarantined the place in my hotel. He quarantined at home. He tested. Thankfully, it was just a cold he had caught from his kids. He tested negative, and but at that point, we just hit the pause button on the training because things were just getting to a point where it was just dangerous. So, it's just this. I agree with you 100%. I couldn't agree more. We provide an essential service that's needed. We bucked up against the Canada border, with the border closure, for instance, where we weren't being allowed to go into Canada, follow up with our teams, and we had to go, up against it to get them to see us as essential services. So we get it. We want to do the job that we love to do. But it's just, in these times, it's just really, really hard. Really, it's frustrating. It's frustrating for us as it is for our blind graduates. That's for sure.
Megan.
Hi, this is Megan. Yeah. And I have a quick question because I know you have to run. On the flip side of that, I am a guide dog user and I've now been working from home for 7 months. I'm not shopping. I'm not going out. And I'm concerned that my dog is somewhat semi-retired after a certain point of not continuing the normal routines and routes that we once did. I'm reluctant to take him out because I don't know. I was never quite clear if dogs could also get sick, as well as cats. And so are you having conversations with your students about not being able to travel?
Yeah, that's, boy, and that, those are, these two questions are absolutely excellent because these are really the two topics that are right in our face, and most prominent. This has changed because there is so much of this. People are working from home. A lot of our, a good number of our graduate population, is finding themselves schooling from home and working from home. So that's, and people being able to get out on route. That was, it was really significant during when this all hit and the lockdowns went into place, and particularly like New York. And, so we were on the, we field staff and all the instructor staff was on the phones with all of our graduates. We actually made, we were making FaceTime and Zoom and phone calls and to contact. We contacted nearly 100. We were able to contact and run down all of our graduate population and talk to people. And we came up, activities you can do with your dogs at home, things to keep your dogs fresh, keep your dogs interested. Some of these dogs particularly, some of our grads are used to, they're out there. These dogs are used to clocking, in some extreme cases up to, 5 miles and better a day. And, on average, at least a couple miles a day for the most part. And so, all of a sudden everything just came to a stop. And while we can explain that to our graduate, it's pretty difficult to explain that to a guide dog. And so that was very significant. Within our school, my experience has been thus far, we haven't had to retire a lot of dogs prematurely. Much to the credit of guide, just dogs in general, dogs tend to adapt fairly well if we'll listen to them and try to find their needs. So we've been very, within our school and most of the schools from the call I was on is up to the same thing, as we're all finding creative ways to keep the dogs fresh. Most of the dogs, if they've been out in the field and they've been working for a while, they're not going to lose it. They may get a little rusty, but most of them, when the fog clears, most of them will step it up and get back into things. The challenge right now, another piece of this challenge is having, none of these dogs that are out there and in training now, dogs don't get the 6 foot social distancing and lines thing. Some of that type of stuff is really challenging. With the population and trying to get people to understand, that we need some help with that out there. So I know some people have struggled with that a little bit. As far as dogs getting there, there's only been a couple cases documented of dogs, being positive for this particular virus. It does not seem to, and we've consulted with our veterinarian who consults with, Cornell University and Tufts Veterinary Hospital, and there. So the experience has been this is not, transmissible to dogs. Dogs are not considered to be carriers. It's just, there's been a couple cases documented as all. It doesn't. So thank goodness, that we are not having to contend with that. In the early days, it was super frightening because none of us knew. We all heard that, you know, this came from animals. So we were assuming that it could be transmitted to animals, but it would seem, you know, that's actually in the pet population, dogs were being dumped. In the early days of this, animal shelters were overwhelmed in some areas because people were just getting rid of their pets because they were afraid. So, but that was kind of a long ramble. I apologize, but you know, for the most part, you do the best you the best you can as far as keeping your dog at, you know, the commonality of all guide dogs is they're thinkers and they're active dogs. And that's why we selected them as guide dogs. And so, you know, keeping them interested in games. There's some, you know, there's some of these little puzzle games that you can stash a few treats in there. And we always recommend using low calorie treats or use just some of their kibble, things like that you can do. So the dogs have some of these activities where they can play with opening the little doors and doing things like that. Sometimes even giving their meals. I've had some of my graduates do that where they're just soaking the dog's meal in water, letting it get mushy, and then stuffing it in a Kong and freezing it, and just give their meal as a frozen Kong, which makes mealtime last longer, and that's an activity that the dogs will enjoy. Getting creative with games in the house, just playing hide and seek with your dog in the house, or hiding some of their toys and having them find them. There's some creative stuff like that you can do when you are in that, you know, shut down situation that it's not guide work, but it is mentally stimulating to the dog. And so that's helpful. And it keeps the dogs from kind of getting lethargic and sluggish, about things. And when we, opportunities present themselves to get out, and it's safe to do so, we try to get out there and work them, but we always, the emphasis right now has to be about keeping yourself safe. So, you know, we're encouraging people, you know, yes, we all through training, we're telling you, you know, get your dogs out daily. You need to work your dogs. And we school everybody on that. During this time, we don't want people freaking out that their dogs are going to, the dog's training is going to fall apart. We don't want people putting themselves in an unnecessary risk. Particularly with ours, you know, with guiding eyes, we're, you know, with the field staff we have, once the dust settles on this thing, we're anticipating we may have to get out in the field. And say for myself right now, even as I go out and I'm doing these home trainings, when I'm in an area, I contact all my graduates in that area just to see if anybody needs anything while I'm there. And so, you know, like early next week, I'm on the way home. I'm going to stop in and visit with a grad who actually just moved and needs help with some route development. So, you know, so there's things we'll pick up the pieces kind of after the dust settles on all this. But most important thing through all of this is keep yourself safe. Don't put yourself into any risky situations just in the name of getting the dog out for work. If you're not comfortable out there, don't. And then particularly any people that have, you know, that are in those high risk groups, if you have other pre-existing conditions and things like that, you know, we do within our population with diabetes and some of that stuff, we do have some people that have additional concerns. So sorry for the long ramble on that one. That was an excellent question and just led me to a stream of thought there. So.
All right. Well, I know you said you needed to go, Michael. Thank you so much for coming and sharing your guide dog. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I do have that Amazon gift card.
Yep. So what we'll do is we're going to draw for it, and then we will send you the name and address.
Awesome.
Name and email.
Yep. You guys have a great conference. It's so good. I can't wait till I get back up to Alaska, get back up to Anchorage and get to see everybody face to face and spend time with her again.
Yeah. So that the folks in Alaska just can't get the home training. Oh, well.
Hey, Michael, this is Nate. I want to say thank you also.
You're welcome, Nate. Good to hear your voice, man. You guys take good care.